settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Again, and welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery.
Hello.
And we're mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show, we focus on education. When Mick goes into deep trance, his mediumship is able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be having a discussion of, listeners' questions, actually. And if you'd like to join us and phone in and ask a question for yourself, I actually have got questions already come in from email from people that want me to ask them on their behalf. So this is also something you could do if you weren't that keen on phoning yourself, or maybe you're listening to this in an archive and it's not actually possible for you to do that because of the time of day in the area of the world you live. Mm. Anyway, we'd like you to join us. It's not a reading style situation here. We're not going to have a reading with a spirit guide, but you can ask him about planetary issues or universal issues, dimensions, your spiritual pathway, spiritual questions, and anything that you think a spirit guide might be able to tell you, basically. Yeah. Give it a go. Anyway, the number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. And the last one, actually, the international call, you would have to pay for, but it's only a quick call. You don't have to stay on the line.
Yes, quite. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirit's Work, on the wonderful, ever-present, and ever-growing BBS.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistsfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, buy one of our books or CDs, or maybe you'd like to have an Akashic reading. There are different kinds of readings that we have to offer as well. We suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com, and also on www.spiritsworkradio.com and www.mickavy.com now as well. Anyway, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand the whole situation back to Sylvie. She's going to explain more and also take command of the entire show, event, energy, and everything to do with everything and the world. Right.
Such faith in the wife.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, well, Gregory, who you will be meeting very soon, is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, as well as ordinary people. They're an educational team that have come to give us access to information that we will help us to move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. In understanding the nature of our existence, we can hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick's in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there's no room for errors because the interpretation of Mick's mind doesn't come into it. It's completely spirit guide Gregory Hay. So you can find out more about that and the trance process from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Or as Mick said, you can maybe, if you would like to book yourself an Akashic reading, with Gregory. There's nothing quite like it. Then that would, I would more than be happy to answer your questions if you would want to get in touch on the Akashic Reading page from our website. Okay. So, I do believe that Gregory is with us now.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light, blessings be upon your pathways, everyone. Welcome.
Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, I do have some questions, but is there anything that you wanted to talk about first, in particular? Or do you want us to go straight into the questions?
It's no, up to I you. Think that...
he's thinking about it.
I think that, my dear friend, we should continue with your first question.
Okay, okay. They're quite diverse from various different people.
Good. Diversity is good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we always say that the White Cloud Group want to come and talk to us and help us with things that we want to know about, that we are searching questions. That's
yes.
What you want to do. You don't want to just come and lecture us, do you?
No, indeed not. Oh. Whatever questions are on each and everyone's mind, however you perceive life or your path or journey within it, are matters of our concern because they concern you.
Absolutely. And we can never just take it for granted that everybody knows, you know, how can I put it this way? Assume that, that people that have come to a certain understanding on their spiritual pathway know all of the other things that, that run alongside it, if you like. It's just such a massive, massive subject. So we want to cover everything.
Yes.
Okay. Here we are then. We have one from Dave in the UK. And he says, do spirit beings need to replenish their energy at times? Is there an equivalent to eating and drinking in the spirit world? And obviously, let's add sleeping and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Well,
yes. Well, my dear friends, to begin with, does spirit need new energy? This is a bone of contention for many people who are Buddhists. For example, it's part of the reason why there is this pronunciation that you have to continue to have a life in the physical world because your spirit energy will run out after 49 days. So that aside, in point of fact, my dear friend, if that were the case, then most of the people that most mediums are in contact with from all different dimensions, from all walks of life within the spirit world, would mean that all of that communication was completely null and void and fictitious. My point here is that spirit energy comes from the, how can I say this, the gathering and the sharing of love between different beings. That does not mean to say that it's the only primal place that spirit energy comes from. The energy of someone's past or their consciousness will have one situation purported to it. I will talk about that in a moment. Spirit itself, when moving away from the, how can I say this, the center, the core, the energy of that which is the creation of all life, never diminishes. It's not like you have a star, which is only having a finite source of energy with which it uses up. Now, energy, you would think, has to be constructed when in physical life by some kind of mechanism. Energy is released either upon friction or upon gravitational fields. Energy can be released because of electrostatic advances within that physical property. And also, there may be many other instances of how energy is gathered within the physical world. That same instance simply does not apply within other aspects of universal parametrics, if you like, and physiology. A being who was, perhaps like yourselves, moved away from the creation of all life at perhaps many millions or even billions of years ago, it does not appear to be that your energy is any less than it was at the point of its separation from that which is the creation of all life. Therefore, in this instance, we can see many other beings within their energy fields and how sometimes spirits are enabled to conserve certain parameter parts of their energy, not because they're running out, but simply because it's easier to do. It's too much bother sometimes to manifest oneself completely into the physical reality. And in fact, is extremely difficult. So a much easier scenario would be to bring about your image or something like that in an orb, which is much smaller. And it's not so cumbersome as trying to get all the bits and pieces of the imagery of the mind into producing a cell-like structure which resembled the physical body of which you had once been a part. Your spirit energy, as a pure spirit, once you're on our side of life, does not diminish. It doesn't mean either that it's created in further or more abundance because of certain energy you're given by someone else. That, in fact, will help the emotional field and responses within that whole arbor of light. So in other words, then, we're coming to the second part of this, which is that if people on the physical side of life give energy to someone as thought forms, as love, as loving energy, which is divided or created by also other spirit beings toward one another, does that mean to say that loving energy is a creative force? Absolutely, yes. In the spirit world, it is. Loving energy is exactly the same as it is in the physical world, except for the fact that it actually doesn't have the barriers and parameters of limitation it has in the physical reality. Therefore, friend, if you were a being sat on one side of your planet and you wanted to, shall we say, communicate with someone from the other side of the planet, you would not necessarily actually feel the love that they sent to you, unless they rang you and told you, I'm going to send you love at this particular moment, or whatever. You wouldn't necessarily feel it. Some might, particularly if they're of mediumistic ability, or some other psychic influence or force. That does not mean to say that this is then an energy which your spirit feeds from. That would be more vampiristic, if it were that your spirit had to leech upon certain kinds of energies coming from physical beings or from elsewhere within the spirit world. But I have to say, dear friend, that in many aspects of the spirit realms, we understand that when we give or create love with one another in abundance or in a giving way in a form of service to someone else, we are actually creating love, but that energy isn't something which is then helped or hindered towards something else. It is sometimes directed toward other beings in order that, perhaps particularly with someone who is potentially very negative, we give them love so that, in the hope that it will change their energy into a lesser form of malevolence, but in fact become something far more beneficial to those to share life and to share those experiences.
A bit like not kicking a dog that's aggressive.
Yes,
Actually trying to appease it and find out what's wrong with it. And
give it something else to do.
Give it a loving emotion.
Absolutely.
Well, yes, if you're negative in a negative situation, then you're just going to get negative back, aren't you?
Yes, quite so. Mm. So it means then that when people on our side of life, if we wish to attract to someone else, we're sending them love. We are sending thought forms, which are real and positive, and also, I understand, can be negative too, if it were that thought form came from a very negative being. Now, sometimes then, if you are sending thought forms which are intensively negative from one being to another, you're actually attracting negativity, further negativity to that thought form, in exactly the same way as if you were sending positive love and harmonics to someone else, you would actually be creating a very positive pathway to them. That doesn't necessarily mean to say it in itself energizes the spirit. Spirit doesn't need energizing. What needs energizing are the thought forms and the parametrics of what you have created, which you've left as a coat upon your spirit within the physical life, you see? So that simply what happens is that when in point of fact, in the fullness of time, you wish to perhaps generate love, or that you wish to receive love from someone else, it's actually raising your vibration. It's not having an impact upon your spirit. Your spirit's already pure and beautiful and doesn't need anything.
No, but sometimes people, and I don't mean negative energies, you know, as in dystoic energies, but I mean,
yes,
sometimes a spirit being in who's passed needs to learn how they can raise their vibration. So in a way, they're replenishing their energy, aren't they? But they're lifting it.
Yes, they are lifting it. But what they're actually doing is refining the vibration of physical mass, of memory, of the conscious aperture which has been laid upon the pure, beautiful spirit. You're refining that energy of consciousness, memory, so that it's in actual fact that your conscious memory becomes a faster index, becomes a faster vibration. So you, in effect, become more illuminate as a being. And that's exactly what happens to those both in the spirit world and in physical reality. Now, is it a matter then that spirit, on this second part, third part of the question, that spirit need to eat or drink or sleep? Spirit need to do none of these. The point, however, is that those in the spirit world, once they have had a physical journey, oftentimes like to partake in the same situations that they would have had they continued in their physical life experience. Why? Simply because of the memory of it. I myself do not object to a jar of ale every now and then. Other people like to smoke cigarettes.
You don't get drunk, though, do you?
It's no, indeed not.
A taste or a memory situation,
yes,
or an association with,
yes,
with something that you, that makes you feel good.
That's true. Sometimes it can create situations of euphoria. So I suppose you could say, well, surely then that means to say that you would become inebriated by it. It's not, in fact, the case. It's not a chemical reaction. What happens is the pheromonic memory of what happened chemically to you when you partook of that in physical life will be something which is actually firmly etched in your consciousness and in your recital memory. So it means to say, with that recycling going on, that you then create the same feelings of desire, if you like. And exactly the same way, my dear friend, as if you look at it as an emotional field, it's exactly the same as the emotions of physical love, for example, and the ways that they can be replicated in the spirit world.
Well, that explains how difficult as well. That brings in another aspect in when you're trying to give up, if you have an alcohol problem or something, or a,
yes,
drug problem, how difficult it is to give up if it... That's another aspect of it that I hadn't really thought of.
Yes, because it's a very deep part of conscious structural memory and actually moves right into the subconscious as well, which is why it is the event that so many people have a great deal of problem overcoming fierce phobias as well, because they're all structurally inherent within the physical being. When you have an injection from something, perhaps it would be, shall we say, a narcotic. Or maybe not. Maybe it's actually to knock you out before an operation. Or maybe it's an inoculation. Whatever. All of those effects which are created within the chemical field of your physical sphere of life are actually having a knock-on effect within your spirit. Because they're part of the conscious memory as well. You have to think of this in a much broader logic of what is conscious memory. Conscious memory is actually everything that passes through your physical body, including those things that perhaps give you bouts of sickness as well as health. Changes in alteration of your mind consciousness through the apertures of which you see and view or hear the world in which you live. all of these have a mirror impact upon your spirit, not entirely your spirit, in essence of the beautiful purity of your spirit, but in actually forming this crust, if you like, the crusty bits of your conscious state.
Mm.
Yes. So do you need sleep? No, not one whit of it. Though many beings, when they come to our side of life, actually continue to fall into those same sleep patterns.
I was kind of hoping that you would. I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice to lay in bed? When I go to the spirit world, I'm going to have a nice sleep now and again.
Yes. But of course, the point is, there's no up or down and no sideways. So it doesn't necessarily mean to say that you have to lie down or lie anything.
Mm.
And what is closing one's eyes? If you're spirit, you don't have any eyelids. It's just a part of the conscious memory.
Yes, but you do, don't you?
Well, but, want to, my friend.
Well, exactly. I mean, you
otherwise,
know, we've been talking about how, yes, because I don't know if everybody knows, my mother just passed a couple of weeks ago, and you've been saying about how, yes, she has been getting on and the things that she's able to do now and create for herself. And
yes,
she's actually already made herself younger looking.
Yes,
which
quite
is obviously,
so,
hey, you know.
From a wrinkly being,
yes,
to a younger being.
Yes. So obviously she has got eyelids and,
yes,
different things.
Yes, and it's not really to do with vanity. It's actually to do with the consciousness setting of the optimal state of age, of what that person, how that person felt when they were at their optimal prime during their physical life experience. So does that mean to say then that someone who was perhaps a cripple all their lives, or maybe quadriplegic or something like that, then that would mean that they wouldn't have that much to look forward to in their consciousness memory, because much of it would be the same as any other part of it. Still in a state of suffering, perhaps, as the physical logic and memory of that logic would divulge.
Mm.
It's not, in fact, the empowerment, because in point of fact, beings who were subject to those kinds of physical restraints in their life would have, in point of fact, moved beyond that memory, because it's something which actually was oftentimes traumatic, created great problems for that being, and would have been, in a sense, dealt with upon the passing. So as those parts of memory simply are slotted into one tiny little bit, which means that memory of those darker times, the times when life was extremely difficult, were purely that, just memories. And they're just insignificant in the detail, then, of the whole person's being. So don't think that just because you see this as a being when they pass, that that's going to be the sum total of what they'll be. So no, you don't need sleep, but some people do. Some beings from our side of life, when they first passed, like to sleep. I myself just simply don't have time.
But there's no time in this program.
If time were even relevant.
I got that,
yes,
in there before
I
you,
know
Gregory.
You did, yes. Mm.
Yes, okay. Well, if you'd like to join us with your own question, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone, 877-876-5227. That's in the US. And Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. Excuse me. And that last one is not free. Oh, do excuse me. I've got a tickle. Okay. Well, sort of staying on that track, really. Another question from Dave. Entertainment. Are there equivalents to watching TV, films at the cinema, listening to the radio, or surfing the internet in the spirit world? Love it.
Yes, my friend. Well, the situation is there are entertainments, but they're of a different value and a different situation of research is brought about from that. The whole point here is that there are people who, when in their physical life, were instrumentalists or perhaps used their voice or some other part of their anatomy with which to sing. And in this respect, friend, many people and beings from physical side of life actually have very many great surprises of what part of themselves or what they can create to make music from.
I'm not going there.
No.
Okay, carry on.
Let's not. So my point, however, is that so we have many beings who were composers, great and small. Many beings who never even picked up an instrument, but would have loved to have. Perhaps they would have dearly loved to have learnt something. Well, they can. They simply go into the halls of learning and perhaps take out a book of a particular instrument. And the instrument, which part of the situation that your father has been working on, in fact, little bird, is really to do with the instrumentation of how musical instruments are fabricized and are enabled to work in the spirit world. There are even situations, because of course, if you think about it, what is air in the physical world simply doesn't exist in the spirit world. So you don't have a bellowed effect of compression or even any of the shear forces or situations of energy transfer that happened in the physical world reality. So how on earth could you possibly have a musical instrument to play anything or to do anything? You would have to concentrate illuminately on your fingers for them to be a materialistic way of producing sound or some such thing, of some kind of musical instrument which would have existed in physical earth reality or in any other physical reality, come to think of it. I understand that there are many who actually make instruments from plants.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. In exactly the same way, dear friend, that two strands of grass laid together can sometimes make a musical instrument, so too it can be that other plant leaves are able to do the same as well. And oftentimes you may even have it that certain kinds of plants give up of their actual flowers in order to make certain kinds of instruments.
In the spirit world?
In the spirit world, yes.
Okay.
Because, of course, part of the connotation of this as well is that plants aren't silent the way they are in the physical world reality. Well, in actual fact, they're not silent at all anyway. They have consciousness. They emit conscious signals from one to another, pheromonic activity that's passed like signals of a chemical structure. And they also pass waveforms to one another as well.
Mm.
So one can see then that just because you think of the structure in physical life doesn't mean to say that it's not without foundation in the spirit world. Things can be repeated, particularly within the structure and inherent structure of things. Like, for example, how would you then perceive perhaps of blowing a flute or obtaining some kind of charmed signal or noise or sound from plucking something that resembled a string. Inherent within it was that, for example, in the modern day, the strings are made from wound wire. And yet, in the spirit world from long ago, thousands of years ago, it was actually made of catgut. So we have these very different situations where, obviously, we don't have the same use and ability of obtaining catgut in order to make strings for instruments.
But you said before that, you know, you can go and see a show, go and see an
right.
orchestra or a performance or something.
Yes, absolutely so.
So, I mean, even this is difficult for us to get our heads around. Because,
yes.
you know, knowing that it's not supposed to be a physical reality, and yet it obviously is.
In a sense, yes.
In a sense.
Is. Yes, that is true. And what in fact happens is, for example, then we would have a person who actually was a violin maker. in his physical life or her physical life. And what they do? They continue to make violins, or they teach others who never made such things as violins in their physical world reality, but actually teaches them to make them. There are books as well that enable beings who had a physical life to learn instrumentationalism.
Okay, and you were saying about not having breath to blow an instrument, but singing, what about singing and recitals and that sort of thing, and choirs?
Yes, well, exactly. The point is that it comes from actual physical memory, from self-structure as well, of your ability to be able to bring that about. And it's, in a sense, a point of the communication process. It's not that just that thoughts are living things and therefore are inherent within one another, so that a musical piece is merely transferred by thought and not actually out created out in something which is of a vibration or plane of existence that everyone can see and understand or can create with. That's the difficulty, I think, that many people in physical Earth reality have with matters to do with the spirit world.
What about, let's just take that scenario about going to see a performance.
Yes.
Of musicians. Are they on a stage? Is there an enclosed space around them where you're in or out? Does the sound, how far does the sound travel?
Yes,
does everybody hear it?
Yes, one moment.
Do you have to pay to get in?
No, there is no payment made. And the sound travels for as far as it is needed to travel. And if someone doesn't like the sound or finds it abhorrent, as some musicians would have it, mm-hmm, on the physical side of life, not everyone likes a certain style of music or whatever it is, they can simply isolate themselves from it.
But not leave?
Yes, they can leave if they want to.
Yes, but I'm saying, what you mean, yeah, okay. I'm saying, you mean they can actually switch off from it, but actually stay there?
Yes.
Within everybody?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You see, it's like magic, though, isn't it?
Not
the
really.
The spirit world is like, it's like magic. It is.
But
it
why
is.
Would you want to... you see, you have to understand this, friend. You are a being in the spirit world. Your conscious physical effort has gone, released. But you retain the consciousness journey and the self-structure of the memory of that journey. So that means that in many respects you have your physical body, but in a place that is non-physical. So that means to say that at times that when you wish to register your physicalness, if you like, or mm-hmm, the memory of the being that you were, it's suddenly there. There it is. That doesn't mean to say that you will do so and then it's an effort to keep it. You have to, however, remember how to produce it, how to, and these situations are oftentimes taught to people, or that it's just something that's shown to those who, when they first come to our side of life, so that they understand the actual parameters and workings of it. Otherwise, you would have completely haphazard thoughts and all different kinds of things, which sometimes happen, and it can be quite amusing to see someone first coming to the spirit world, and they have all of these really haphazard and bizarre situations going on to them, purely and simply because they're orchestrating it themselves and don't know how to relate to their conscious physical memory,
yeah,
as a spirit now. So
they don't actually realise that they're doing it at first.
Yes, yes.
And then you have to say, well, you've just created that.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Right, so.
Okay, can I actually just go on to TV and films at the cinema, that sort of thing?
Yes.
If you create some, if you're the creator of it, then it's not going to be new to you, is it? I mean, we turn the TV on and go to the cinema because we want to see something new, not something regurgitated from our mind that we saw before.
No, that's true. But the point is, friend, that new things, new events, new creations of the spirit world are made manifest too.
Yeah, okay, well, that's...
Because that's the part of the process of moving forward. Mm. Everything is not stagnant or looking backward into the past in the spirit world.
Is it all actual at the time? You know,
it
like,
is
so
actual
new
at the time it's created,
okay,
yes, but can be stored and then retained and then reevaluated or perhaps produced in a book form or some kind of illuminate experience, which is perhaps three-dimensional form of, how do I say this? Like a three-dimensional image, mm-hmm. which is working in real time.
Okay. So can you watch somebody else's TV?
Or four-dimensional.
Or cinema or something. Do you have a screen?
You would usually have, it wouldn't actually be a screen, it would be a place or an area which is activated.
Okay.
So then it would be perhaps something which is illuminated within its own energy or from the energy of those spirits who are illuminating it at the time. So shall we say then that you have a quartet. Or not necessarily classical music, it may be anything. Could be any kind of style of music from any world either, not necessarily of the human variety.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have then and expect to see and witness in this form of three, four, or five-dimensional setting the myriad interaction of different beings taking part in it. It may be a play. It may be that it's something which is part of an ongoing experience or an ongoing evaluation to perhaps help others to become more educated about certain aspects of the spirit world. That goes on too, a kind of like a lecture situation, but that happens in the different kind of setting, which is not, how can I say this? It's like a situation which is organized as a multidimensional state, but that is sometimes doesn't necessarily mean to say the spirit actually has to be present, but can be relayed through retained memory or some other such program which then enables that memory to be retained and then regurgitated as a performance at another time. Similar, I suppose, to you watching a three-dimensional video or something like that.
So if we wanted to learn about whales or whatever, say,
yes.
You could, would the whales actually make the
yes.
the film, as it
yes,
were, shall we say?
They would. And they don't need to have help from human beings, because human beings are higher sentient beings, and they're the beings with the consciousness ability and the thought forms, and oh, I think I'll make a film for whales and be condescending because of the Beastmaster and all the rest of it, that so mm-hmm. many seem to have this apparatus of structures of the universe and of the physical reality and of the spirit world reality that simply are not true. Yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
You
Have we got a call?
Yes, hi.
I'm sorry. My little doodah didn't come up properly. Hello, how are you?
Oh, great. I had one question to ask.
Yes?
Well, say a person is from the Pleiades or the Arcturus or the different places in the universes. Do they all go to the same spirit world, or are there different spirit worlds which house everyone? Or,
okay,
is there
yeah.
a separation?
Yeah.
Yes, I understand, Finn. The point is that the spirit world, in a sense, is to do with many different vibrations of many different, and I won't say levels as such, because that means that there are barriers and limitations set upon all different kinds of beings. In fact, point of fact, my dear friend, where we are at this present time, we are speaking from a place which is populated by hundreds of thousands of different beings from all walks of life and all different kinds of planets and all structures of universal thinking. So it means to say that this is a kind of like a universal portal, if you like, a window for you to, and for us, to be able to react with you and to interrelate with you the very many benefits and the many different arbitrations which are going on all the time in the spirit world, in all the many different dimensions and also many different time sequences as well, which is quite strange, I know, because from your reality, you look at things in terms of the sequences of time that you have in your side of life, which are based, of course, upon the size of the planet, its orbit around the sun and circumference and everything else. That, of course, is something which is only pertaining to the Earth's physical reality. And yes, we have all different kinds of beings from all different kinds of worlds, different creatures, different structures, different inherent qualities within them, all of whom have a beautiful, pure spirit, and all of whom, once they have had some kind of physical life, return with their beautiful, pure spirit as illuminating a kind of a coat upon it. And their consciousness ability is something which we all treasure, which we all have a great deal to offer one another in that respect.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. What was your name? I'm sorry, I didn't ask you your name.
Oh, that's all right. My name is Kim. I just was fascinated because I've been reading so much about, you know, the different place beings on different planets, some who look like they're from Earth, some who look like they're from other, who look more animal-like, and I just wondered, are they all going to the same place?
Yeah.
It sounds like different levels of consciousness.
Yes. Well, my point, my dear friend, is as well that in exactly the same way that you have inherent structures within the physical world reality to do with pathways of evolution, so they exist within many other planetary systems, on many other worlds, in many other realities, not just in containing within your own physical world reality, i.e. the planets, the star systems, galaxies, and all the rest of it that you presently see, but all of the other dimensions in which exist similar realities, which have just as many planets and stars and clusters of galaxies and inherent makeups of many different kinds of dimensions and structural facades, which means to say that these are all inherently within their own limitation of their time sequence and their vibrational state when different places shift, when different places interact. In the spirit world, what happens is it's a mixture of all of these. Not to say that it's something that's going to immediately greet you as soon as you come to our side of life, unless it's been something that you've already managed to accept in the physical world reality.
Well, which she has, and she's searching and open-minded by the sounds of it. So that's wonderful.
Yes. So I hope you understand that, friend. Otherwise, it would mean for example, mother, father, sister, brother, someone who was not, perhaps, au fait with other beings from other world realities would actually potentially be quite frightened by being confronted by many different beings of different walks of life who are completely alien to them.
Oh, I totally understand that. It's like maybe one person in France, you may not go to France, but you've heard about the place.
Yes, that's right.
That's brilliant.
Is it telepathic so that we're not talking like we're talking now? It's basically through thought patterns?
Well, in part it is. It's not to say that nobody talks, friend. Oftentimes, because of that fact that the structure of the spirit world is that thought is a living thing. So it means to say, as soon as you emit a thought, whether it's positive or negative, as soon as you create a love link or some other attraction or attention to someone else, it's created and therefore visited on their structure, on their vibration, if you like. So they already instantly are aware of your presence or of some situation of communication happening between you. That's not to say that the actual physical voyage is not used at times when reacting with other beings or other beings from the past or from the inherent state of your own structure. So that means to say, if you want to talk to other beings who have had a physical life, you can do that. And if you want to talk to dolphins or whales or someone like that, you actually have to seek their permission to be able to do that and be of a loving vibration toward them. So, for example, then people from the Faroe Isles would not be able to talk to minke or pilot whales because they were actually inherent in their slaughter in the physical world reality.
Exactly. What I would think is interesting is, do you often find people there who are really angry with even being there and don't want to be there? They rather come back to this planet or just don't want to be in that universe at all?
Well, yes, in part, my dear friend, I have to say that oftentimes we find beings who were angry and had great negativity in their physical world reality, perhaps continuing with that negativity in some way. We don't usually find that, however, beings who had perhaps were frightened of coming to the spirit world, perhaps had a great fear of death or something like that, or maybe they didn't actually weren't finished with their job of work, a bit like Michael Jackson, really, in many respects. He wasn't finished. He had so much to do, and he really didn't want to leave. However, the point was his physical body gave out, so it wasn't able to support the structure of his beautiful, pure spirit any longer. Therefore, it meant that reluctantly he had to succumb to returning to our side of life. And no matter, he has carried on within his journey and the beautifying of other life within our existence means that he is still remains a really beautifying energy, an edifying energy to many, in fact. And that means to say he's not reluctant or anything like that. It usually is something as soon as those come to our side of life and they recognize what's actually happening and where they are, and the whole sheer beauty and magnetism of the spirit world simply means, oh, wonderful, I've come home. And that's all they feel.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Oh, well, thank you for your call, Kim. Really, thank you.
Thank you, so.
Call again. Bye-bye. God bless. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
Michael is such a clear example of that in many respects, you see.
Obviously, because he did have an awful lot he still wanted to do, and obviously he's got his lovely family and everything, but
absolutely.
Yes, as you say, it's. I remember when we first started talking about this years and years and years ago, we had to actually have a discussion about, well, we need to play it down a little bit because we don't want people to
start.
Yes, exactly. Committing suicide just to go to the spirit world because it's so lovely.
Yes.
And that was something that we really talked about and pondered over for quite a while, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and it is still a subject of understanding on our side of life, I have to say, friend. It's not to say that we want anyone just simply to give up physical side of life.
But on the other hand, I hope that people can take some some comfort out of the fact that, you know, it is so beautiful over there. So let's just go to the last part of this question of Dave.
Let's do that.
Because he mentioned when he said, are there equivalents to these different things? Surfing the internet in the spirit world, is there something that's equivalent to that? Or is that similar to the halls of learning and what you would, you know, the actual possibilities? But is there a machine or a thing that you can go to find out where you find things out, or, you know, how does that work?
Yes, well, there are certain energy apertures, I would say, where people can congregate, or even one person, one being, spirit being, can come to this particular kind of instrumentation, which then allows them to perhaps communicate in a certain way with something else or some other situation. Mm. Now, books are not always holographic. They're not always containing only the spirit evidence of some other being or some other nationality or some other species. It may well be that they're records, illuminate records of people's lives or of a certain event or situation. You can check on anything which has been created within the history of a planet because the halls of learning contain all of it. So that you would not have necessarily the way that it has been historically produced and portrayed, because that is oftentimes within the historian's facet of it, maybe pertaining to one slanted game or one slanted way of looking at something, purely maybe because they're in the pay of someone who has that point of view.
Yes, you could, a human mind,
yes,
a human
absolutely.
Mind perspective with all of the trappings of that.
Exactly.
Religious bias, political, you know, all
yes,
of that.
Yes, all of that, yes. Mm, mm. In exactly the same way that the Bible was written and then altered some around the year of AD 500 is a typical example of that.
Okay. All right.
So then you have then these different situations where, and it doesn't mean to say, friend, that you have to come to a certain specific place. It's not like a machine, like a computer that you have on the physical side of life. It's actually more like that you can interact within the halls of information. For example, you ask perhaps for within the situation, you would ask someone who is behind the very large desk that exists there, perhaps for assistance. Maybe it would be that in the asking, you are just in a sense opening your consciousness for the being who is facing you, and it may not be human, the being that is facing you, to actually read your information of what you desire. So it's like thought forms in reality are instantaneous, and therefore it's oftentimes going to be that you don't necessarily have to speak or say something of what you want or what you require. And incidentally, the being that you are or the being that you were in physical life will always be recognized by anyone in any hall of information wherever you have come from.
And they can obviously see straight away that you're sort of, as it were, new to it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And needing help.
Yes, yes, quite so. And then quite simply, so for example, it may well be that they actually direct you to a certain kind of book or something like that, or maybe have the various insect forms, flying insect forms, to take you to where you are to be directed.
Okay.
Because they often take command of these kinds of things and events.
Hmm.
Yes.
And would they actually suggest to you which books to start with first in your searching? Which ones,
yes.
You know, like sort of elementary, intermediate, and that sort of thing?
Yes, yes.
How to actually navigate your way around, how to use your mind to get a book.
Oh, yes, yes, that too, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm. So this is, in a sense, a part of the evaluation, if you like, of how you then transcend your original energy. So perhaps then understanding that when you are in the halls of learning, you won't necessarily see everything. You won't, in fact, you'll only be marginalized in a sense by being able to see just certain things, certain events. Many of the situations you'll observe of books moving through the air without any other being attached to them seemingly are simply because the books themselves may be transparent and aware of you, but that you cannot necessarily view them or look at them, maybe because your energy vibration isn't of the right density. So, for example, that's part of the reason why I said about whales and dolphins, you have to be of a specific energy vibration in order to visit with them, and particularly, I have to say, in order to read any of their works.
It's really funny what you were talking about that, and I had this vision, and I don't know if this is the case, of a whale actually coming out of the book,
yes.
And you actually are allowing you to actually touch it, to feel what
yes.
it, pat it, to feel what it felt like.
Yes.
In when it was alive
in its own environment, in
the physical world.
That's right.
Is that possible?
Yes.
That you can. It's tactile
yes.
as well, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. Completely. Yes.
Mm.
Completely tactile.
You just had that.
And that's the same with any being.
Mm.
Any being that had physical life or that had some form of coexistence, if you'd like, whereas it had adopted some form of physical or natural phenomenal format. Of cell structure.
Mm.
Yes. In exactly the same way, of course, that many different beings have throughout the entire universe. Many different kinds of beings of different form, different species, different reality. Not necessarily all that those of whom you think and feel and attract to, but perhaps many of their own unique nature and unique instance. So prawns, for example, wouldn't necessarily be things that you would eat now in the spirit world, but rather that you would communicate with them or perhaps watch as they play one another. They produce sound in the spirit world.
Do they?
Yes.
What sort of sound?
It's sort of like a, not screechy, but it's in a sense, it's quite high vibrational sounds.
And is it singing or speaking or just happy noises or just...
They are really like humming.
Okay.
Yes. And that they are very tuneful and actually create a myriad of different rhythmical patterns as well. Exactly the same as for many other creatures from the oceanic reaches.
Mm. Wow, I'd love to go through that on the show, you telling us what sort of noises and things that each creature does now in the spirit world.
Yeah.
That would be good, wouldn't it? How about that, listeners? That would be good. Let's see if we can compile a list of creatures from planet Earth to find out the sort of life and lifestyle that they have in the spirit world.
Yes, they can, for example, prawns can actually sing very much like crickets. Sing in the physical world reality.
Okay. Well,
they have
a little
quite
taster.
Distinctive voices, yeah.
Okay, we have to go. We've come.
Yes,
come
quite
to
so. Absolutely
end.
Well, very well. God bless then upon your reality, dears. Sleep well. Mm-hmm. God bless.
Thank you, Gregory. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. We'd just like to mention our website. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. Do pay it a visit. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.